We are ending today the So Be It, Amen, So Be It series, and it has been such an honor just to go through this with you and as a church, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about passion, suffering, and faith, actually the result of Amen. And the scripture, one of the scriptures we stood on was that even if you happen to suffer for doing what is right, you will have the joyful experience of the blessing of God. Give me an amen for that. That the Lord rebuilds, that the Lord restores, and that the Lord is looking for those that are ready, being passionate about Jesus. But today, to wrap this up, I want to talk to you a little bit about Dear Jesus, the community of Amen. Dear Jesus, the community of Amen. Before I give you the definition for dear, I thought I would go through just a couple of, the adverb of dear we get from the British. It is dearly. I don't use that word very much in conversation. I do know that it has a deep meaning that, you know, if, you know, you tell your sons, you know, you give them or your daughters the keys to the car and you say, drive safe, don't drive too fast, because if you get a speeding ticket, you know, it could dearly cost you. And that's really what dearly means. It means high cost, or it could be expensive, or it could be costly. You have dear as an interjection. A few weeks ago, I talked about my chemistry teacher, that when she would get so upset at us in class, and she would turn around and go, Dear Jesus. You know, it was like, it was an interjection of just showing, you know, expressing annoyance, but it can also be used for sympathy. But when you look at dear defined, what you find in the dictionary, it means this: regarded with deep affection, cherished by someone, or that you're highly valued. I don't know when was the last time that you sent a letter or an email starting with the word or the greeting, dear. I don't know if you guys do that very much anymore. I know that when Lori and I were dating, and I was in California and she was in Texas or in Missouri, wherever she was going to school, you know, we would write letters to each other, and I would say, Dear Lori, and she'd say, Dear Matt. And then I could always tell when Lori was upset at me, because then it would say, You big dummy, or, no, I'm joking. No, she would write me a letter, and if it just said Matt, man, I knew, okay, we're about to break up, or something's wrong, you know, that kind of deal. But, you know, but guys, it was one of those things where my grandmothers, my Grandma Shaw and Grandma Stewart, who are no longer with us, but when Grandma Stewart lived in California and my Grandma Shaw lived in Arkansas and we were in Texas, we would go on vacations to visit them. And when they would see me, they would just hug and kiss me and, my dear Matthew, and just kind of letting me know how much they love me. And one of my deepest conversations I ever had with my grandfather, Shaw, which was really one-sided because he was dying with cancer. I'm in the hospital room with him, staying with him that night. And I just ended up writing him a front-to-back 3-page letter, just talking to him about how much I loved him and wanting him to know how much I cared about him, and starting that off with Dear Grandpa. And guys, dear speaks of relationship. Dear Jesus speaks of relationship, and it speaks of community. It speaks of connection and doing life with him and with his people. I love that Jesus being in our lives makes all of our relationships deeper because we hold him closer to our heart. It gives us purpose, purpose in community, building people up, shouldering burdens together, putting Jesus in front of anyone who might encounter us in our time on earth. And that's not an ego thing. I'm just telling you that with Jesus in us, when we walk into places of darkness or into places of depression or hurt, people are going to notice something's different about us because there has been change. Give me an amen. We've made a choice to follow and to love Jesus. He is in me and he is in you. Galatians 2:20 is one of our go-to scriptures when we're talking about Jesus being in us and the change he's made. And for some of us, you might not have ever read the scripture, but in Galatians 2:20, it really talks about that I am crucified with Christ. Well, the translation that I've chosen to read to you comes out of the Message, and it says it this way, that I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that. Now, if you take this and you look at this, that one little phrase there that I kind of highlighted where it says, Christ lives in me. Other translations, it might say, Christ liveth in me. But in the Greek, which, go ahead and put that up, this is Christ lives in me. Now, I've written it as you see it, Christ lives in me. But if you were reading it in the Greek text, it would be kind of flipped a little bit. But that liveth or that lives means true life, to be among the living, that you are blessed or that you are full of living water. In fact, church, it really is saying that you're not lifeless, that you're not dead, but that Jesus uses us to be a light to those who are walking in death. Amen? That's the difference here. Through his Spirit, Christ in us, as we live our lives, what this scripture is saying is as we live for him, the world will see Jesus living in us. And that leads me to my first thought. Jesus being so dear to you and I, how do we get better at living in the community of Amen? And the first thought is this. We show them Jesus. We have to show them Jesus. In John 5:35, here's Jesus talking about John the Baptist himself, and he says this, and he's talking to religious leaders, but he says, John was like a burning and shining lamp, and you were excited for a while about his message. You know, I don't think about leaving earth much or dying or anything like that, but I can tell you this, that when I do get into eternity and I'm living my forever with Christ, I would love for Jesus, while we're walking together and he's spending time with me, and he looked at me and he says, Matthew, you were a burning, shining lamp for me. Man, just to hear Jesus say that about me, what a powerful way to go into my eternity knowing that I was a burning, shining lamp for Jesus. You see, 2009, Lori and I planted a church called 301 Church, and it started in the Portsmouth Women's Club. And we were quickly outgrowing it. We went from one service to two services, and we were getting ready to go to the theater where we could have some multiple theaters and things. And we had this couple in our church, Willie and Linda Pegram. And Willie got really sick. I mean, like sick where they didn't think he was coming out of the hospital, that he was going to die. And Linda called me and said, would you please go pray with Willie? And so by the time I got there, he was pretty much in a kind of almost an induced coma to where they had him really, really low with no, like, really recognizing people. But for some reason, when I walked in, I opened the door, and I did it so quietly. But when I opened the door, I just remember seeing him kind of like he reacted. And so I walked over, and I thought he was going to try to get up. And I went over, and I got in his ear, and I said, Willie, I'm here just to pray. I'm going to sit in the chair. You lay here. You rest. I don't want you to move. And he couldn't, you know, it looked like he had Vaseline over his eyes, and he was just done. Guys, let me ask you this without being, have you ever walked into a hospital room and you could feel like the presence of death? And I'm sitting there in my heart. I went in and I sat in that chair and I began to pray life into the room. I started praying that Willie would get out of that bed, that the Holy Spirit would come in and be with him, and that there would be healing, that there would be a miracle. And I'm crying out for him quietly, but I am. And about an hour later, I get up, I go over, I find a notepad, I just write a little note to the family letting them know that I was there. And about 3 weeks later, I got word that not only was Willie healed, but he was already out of the hospital room where the doctors thought he would not make it. And he was out, he was home, and I think it was like a week later. All of a sudden, I come down off the pulpit from speaking, and Willie comes over and grabs my hand, and he goes, Pastor Matt, I want to tell you something. When you came into the room, he says, I have never experienced that much peace in my life. Now, guys, I want to tell you something. That had nothing to do with Matt Stewart. It had everything to do with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit that I was carrying and that came with me, amen, to be in a room that was dark, that had a spirit of death and depression. He was highly depressed over this because to bring light into a room of darkness, that's the Holy Spirit in you. We were crucified with Jesus for him so that he could live in us and through us. Amen? Now, check this out. So Jesus is still kind of having it out with the religious leaders. Look what he says here. John 5:39. You search the scriptures because you think that they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. Guys, Genesis to Revelation, all of it points to Jesus. Let me say that again. From the very beginning of your Bible to the very end of your Bible, it all scripture points to Jesus himself. You see, when we put the scriptures inside of us, when we pray, when we serve others and find community in Christ, when we live out our days in and through the Amen, everything about us points to Jesus. I love the truth that everything starts with Amen. When we embrace the truth, living it and believing it and showing him to others, there is this sense of peace that wherever we go, wherever we might be sent, that the Holy Spirit is going to go with us. To be able to say that amen, that that's the so be it, that it can also be just these words of I accept, I believe, that I affirm, that I decree, that I declare, that I praise, that I will bless, that I will go, that I will not be swayed. Did you guys catch that in Galatians 2:20, what we had read earlier, where Paul is saying, he goes, I will not go back on this. He is in me. I'm dead. My old man is dead. He is in me now. I live my life for Jesus, and I am not going to be swayed. I am his. We testify to his way, to his plan, to his purpose, because it is the best design for our lives. Showing Jesus, making our dear Jesus shine in our lives is not always, gosh, guys, how many of us know that it is not always easy to shine bright for Christ? Come on, let's be real. Sometimes it's very easy, but other times and most of the time, it is not. But even when or if you feel incapable of shining for Christ in a given day, he is faithful to carry the load because we believe. We live our lives in the Amen because he was shined through us. And even though we don't feel like we have anything to give, maybe we don't even have the best attitude. Listen, we can be there and God is speaking to us. He's telling us exactly what we're supposed to do. And our attitude is, really, God, today of all days? Does it have to be him? Does it have to be her of all people? This is what you're asking me to do? Beth Guckenberger, the writer of the book that we built this series around, she says it this way, we might not always understand his ways, and certainly we might not always like them, but we can always be confident of them. Isn't that good? Jeremiah 42:6, whether we like it or not, we'll do it. We'll obey whatever our God tells us. Yes, count on us, we'll do it. Which leads me to my second thought. Jesus being so dear to you and I, how do we get better at living in the community of Amen? We show them Jesus and we talk about Jesus. Before I get into my scripture, let me pastor you guys just for a second, if y'all don't mind. And I mean this, everything I'm about to say is in complete love. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in this room today, if you are living your life for him to the best of your ability, it's not always easy, but you're doing your best. Come on, give me an amen. You know where I'm going. And if Jesus has done anything good in your life, anything good in your life, salvation, he's given you life, he's given you healing, you have a strong marriage, you have a loving family, you have food on the table. If any of that has happened in your life, then let people know. Be ready to share what God has done in your life. Come on, amen. If you want to live in the community of Amen, you have to talk about Jesus. Well, Pastor Matt, I can't do that. Yes, you can. I promise you, you can. And this is what I also want to say. Not only can you, but he's going to help you do it. You ever have been in those conversations where you're sitting there at a coffee with somebody and you're just talking and all of a sudden they say something. Something that triggers your heart rate just starts going up. You know, they said something like, I just don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I've looked for every solution. I don't know. And your heart's just beating faster. You feel like you're about to pass out. You know what that is? That's not pizza from last night. You know what I'm saying? That's the Holy Spirit saying, tell him your story. Talk about it. And he'll help you. All right. Amen. Is everybody good? I want to set up the story of Jesus and John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 7, what happens before the scripture come up is John the Baptist has now been thrown in prison. And we know in the story that John the Baptist ultimately loses his life. And he's locked up in prison. He's basically lost all his disciples that used to follow him. Jesus is out in the Galilee, and things are happening. He's got a troop of disciples. He has thousands of people following him. And John has two of his disciples that come to prison, and he's talking to them. He's a little upset. But look at what happens here in John 7, verse 20 through 23. It says this right here. John's two disciples, well, first, let me say this before we read it. There's a couple of things that are going on with this, is that John says, I've got some questions. I want you to go to Jesus, and I want you to ask him two things, okay? And here's what it is. He says, John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? Now, remember, this is John the Baptist that sent them to ask this question. And so there's a couple of things that's going on. John is sitting in this prison. The first thing is that he's experiencing a little bit of jealousy. And you have to think about this, because John was the man. Until he baptized Jesus and Jesus started his ministry, John was the guy. And now he's in prison. Jesus has all this stuff going on, but yet he's stuck in prison. The other thing that's going on is that he is, like all the other Jewish men and women who are looking for the Messiah, and they base it off of Isaiah 61. If you've never read Isaiah 61 and you wonder what the Jewish people are looking for in the Messiah, go read Isaiah 61. John's just like that. And what are the things they're looking for? He's looking at, when are you going to set all the prisoners free? When are you going to take vengeance on the wicked? When are you going to kick the Romans out, Jesus? When are you going to get rid of these tormentors? When are you going to establish the kingdom? And look how Jesus responds here, you guys. We're going to continue. Luke chapter 7. Then he told John's disciples, go back to John and tell him what you've seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear. And my iPad just decided to shut down on me a little bit here. Let me get back to my scripture. Here we go. The deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news, everybody say good news? And the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. Let me read that part again. God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. Here's the truth. Jesus knows John is in prison. Listen, he's man, but he's also God. Give me an amen. Jesus knows that John is going to soon be executed. Jesus is letting John know, I've got this. Good things are happening. People are being saved. People are being healed. People are being forgiven. There's miracles happening everywhere that I go. And Jesus is reminding John, just because you are in prison, I know it's not great. It's dark sometimes, and it might even feel unfair, but I am with you, I am in you, and I am for you. He's saying, John, you know me. John, you know me. You are there because of me. Think about that. He's in prison because of Jesus. You know me. Keep the faith. Don't fall short, and keep telling others about me. Listen to what I'm about to say. Even while you're in prison. Guys, listen, remember this about John the Baptist. He's in his mother's womb. Mary walks in carrying Jesus in her womb. And what does it say that John the Baptist did? He leapt. I mean, Jesus has had impact on his life before he even knew what in the world was going on. When I walked into that room with Willie, and I'm opening the door as quiet as I can, and when I stepped in, his body jerked. Why? It's because it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. When he steps into the room, lives change. Now, it's not always going to be the good. Sometimes you're in those prisons But Jesus is saying, you keep doing what you know to do. Church, I feel like God wants all of us to be reminded to be thankful. Stay faithful. Keep going. Don't quit. You know who you are. You know where He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows the good and bad. He is with you. Keep talking about Jesus. Share His messages. Share the message of what He's done in your life. You can do it. I promise you can. It's through a text or through an email or through a coffee or a dinner or a lunch. Listen, some of you, you're stopped by this. It's like, okay, I'm going to meet somebody. I know they're going to talk to me about some heavy stuff. How many scriptures do I know? Don't worry about the scriptures that you know. You just start sharing what God has done for you, and I promise you things will come out of your mouth that you didn't even know you knew because the Holy Spirit is with you. Stay and fight for community. Live in the community of Amen, and you will be blessed. Talk about Jesus. And this leads me to my third and final thought. Jesus being so dear to you and I, how do we get better at living in the community of Amen? We show them Jesus, we talk about Jesus, and we're ready for Jesus. Everybody say ready. I've been talking a lot about this. Being ready for Jesus. And you know, sometimes when we hear like a crowd of people say, ready, I'm ready for Jesus, it sounds good and it feels good saying it, but sometimes life, guys, this is the best way or analogy that I could think of. If you've ever played baseball, you know, little league, whatever, pony, high school, college, if you've ever faced a curveball, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Where you're in the plate and you're standing there getting ready to go, and the guy pitches and you go like this and the ball goes straight across the plate. It's a curve. It throws us off. That actually just hurt my back. You know what I mean? So anyway, but life throws these amazing curveballs. You can call it having the rug yanked out from under you. Let's keep talking about this. Tuesday is great. Tuesday's great. Those of us that are in school, we've got A's on our tests. Our teams have won. The girl said, I'll go with you. Do y'all still say I go with you? Or, you know, do you check the boxes? Do you like me or not? But everything's great. Us adults, we go out to the mailbox and we open it up. And there's a check in there that we weren't expecting. Our marriage is doing good. We have no cavities at the dentist. You got a job promotion. Tuesday is great. And then we wake up Wednesday, and Wednesday has decided life is not going to be so great anymore. Somebody, a husband walks in and says, I don't want to be married anymore. You lose somebody through great loss. Sometimes life can throw a curveball that just changes everything. And I want to say this, that when you are ready for Jesus, when you're in community, and your community is ready for Jesus, when you are getting people talking about Him, getting them ready for Jesus. You see, here's the truth about community. Community brings support, and when you get support, this is what you realize. It's like, dude, it's like this valley is dark. It's scary. But I've got my God by my side, and I've got the right people in my life, and they're invested in me, and they're going to carry me through. You see, with good friends, listen to what I'm about to say. When you have good friends, hard times aren't so bad, and good times are so much better. So much better. When you are ready for Jesus, when your people are ready for Jesus, when everything in your life is screaming, I am ready for you, Jesus. Dark times, dark valleys, dark seasons will not so easily dismantle your relationship with God. I have talked about this over a couple weeks, and I feel like I need to hammer it home a little bit more. I'm always amazed at believers that when something goes wrong, that their first solution to the problem is I'm not going to go to church anymore. I'm not going to pick up my word anymore because I'm mad at God. I don't want to do, and everything changes where the first thing we should do is run into His presence. Amen? That's the thing. That's when you know you're in community with Christ. You see, King David wrote in Psalms 23:4, we know this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now look at this. Look at this. All these other translations will say, even when I go, or even if I go, or I may walk, or when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. King David is saying is that as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is not saying build your business in the valley of the shadow of death. He's not saying stop and start a family in the valley of the shadow of death. He's not saying camp out in the valley of the shadow of death. He's saying that when you walk through, that there is actually a beginning to this darkness, but there will also be an end. Give me an amen. That's what King David is saying. The people in your life, it's the people that you surround yourself. When they help, they are going to help keep you walking. That's the beauty of serving Jesus. Yes, we have Jesus. And that's the most powerful thing that you could possibly have. But he's so good that he gives us people to walk it out with us while we're on planet Earth. Amen? And it's important. See, when you get to the other side of your time of struggle, when you do finally get to that promise, when you finally endure and you do walk into your reward, how many of us know it is so much better being on the mountaintop with those that you hold dearly in your life? Your people, good people, great people, people who are ready. Everybody say ready. That's why we talk about home groups here so much. It's just important, man, just to have that outside, that connection outside of what we get to do on Sundays together. People who have your back, who love you, who are invested in you. People who God has surrounded you with that are ready for Jesus. This is living in the community of amen. You know, I look back on the chapters of my life, and I'm looking at the good ones right now, honestly. Graduation, wedding, you know, having my children, you know, being a part of Harvest, all of it. All of this life has been so much better, not because of what we were doing, but because of who we were doing it with. Amen. I'm going to have the worship team come on up. Come on, can we give them a hand? Just a beautiful, beautiful time of worship this morning. And we're going to worship some more. I want to give you guys an illustration that I hope has impact, okay? And I've really prayed and invested some time and some, I wanted to talk about, real quick, redwoods. How many of you guys have ever seen the redwoods? Okay, great. So there's been a good... If you've never seen them, I've been around the world. God has blessed me with being able to see different places in the world, and I've seen some pretty majestic trees, but there's been nothing that ever comes close to the redwoods. If you've never seen them, you know, and you get to see them for the first time, and you can see where you get like 12 to 15 adult men that have to do like this to go around the base of a tree, or they're so tall that they go up, and when you look up, you lose sight. You can't even tell at how tall the tree is. And here, you guys, here's a red. Isn't that great? Look at that graphic, you guys. Only the best, you guys. Best quality for everybody here. But here's the thing that they found out about the redwoods is that their root system doesn't go very deep in the ground. Go ahead and put the roots up. So their roots come out. Guys, high class, right? Come on now. This is top stuff. And anyway, their roots don't go very far down the ground, but what they found about the redwoods is that they're a community, that their roots will actually reach out to the other redwoods, and they will link roots. They bind up. Go ahead and put that up. Look at this. Now, all of a sudden, that's strength, you guys. Is everybody with me on this? Now, they're growing taller together. They're growing stronger together. They're supporting together. They're ready for any storm that might come their way. I just feel like we need a reminder that we are not on this journey alone. We have God, we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, but we also have each other. Come on. Praise God. I think some of us, we just need to learn when it's good to link arms with each other. Help each other shoulder the load. Guys, we even have those in heaven who are cheering us on. I think about Jonathan's mom who just passed away a week ago. She's in heaven, man. She's cheering us on. Look at what it says in Scripture, Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge, great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:10 through 11, it says that Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. And then Paul again in Hebrews 10, 22 through 25, and I love this version. So let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out and not avoiding worship together as some do, but spurring each other on. Guys, when I hear spurring, I think of, come on, let's go back to some cowboy westerns where you see the cowboy on the horse and he's spurring this horse. It doesn't feel that great. You know what that scripture's saying? Some of us sometimes need a good spiritual kick in the tail. It's time to stop. It's time to stop being depressed. It's time to stop wallowing and complaining. We are here. Our arms are linking up with you. Let's get up and let's get this thing going. Come on. Spurring each other on. Why? Why would you spur somebody on? Especially as we see the big day approaching. Church, what is that big day? The day of his return is near. Come on. The day approaching, the day drawing near. And it's all about those three things: showing Jesus, talking about Jesus, and being ready for Jesus. Showing, talking, and being ready. Amen. Man, when we used to walk out on the basketball court, some of us guys would look at each other and we'd be giving each other hammer fists and we'd say, let's go show and prove. That's all you had to say. We're gonna show and prove. And that's what it is. Show, talk, and get people ready for Jesus. Dear Jesus, the community of Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise? Come on.